just by ourselves. There's so much that we just decided. We don't even think about it. We just know, like, oh, this area of life, I don't share. This area of life, I don't let people in. This area of life, I'm like, that's my thing to deal with. That's my thing to figure out, especially, you know, it's like private. Like, God has so much for you, like, in those places. They're meant to be, like, the healing will come, I can almost guarantee, in community. Like, the healing for those things will come, like, as we open up, as we share, as we shift our relationships. And I know it's really comfortable, like, you probably have, like, a really comfortable relationship at a certain level with the people around you. Like, it's fun, right? Like, I know, you know, we joke about this thing, right? And we listen to this together, and we watch, like, these little YouTube videos together, right? And we talk about, like, this subject, and, you know, like, we know that we have this in common, so we, like, you know, have fun with those things. I think if you want to see, like the real stuff of God, like, one, we have to start opening up the doors. But two, we have to start bringing that, like, it has to become more normal how we bring God into our relationships. Right? It should not feel like, it doesn't make sense that if we're like, how do I know Matthew and Jonah, how do you guys know each other? I've been in church with them for like 10 years, 15 years, all my life. Like, oh, how when was the last time you prayed together? Oh, no, that's weird. Right? Like, Christianity is the basis of our relationship, yet it's so strange to, like, do something outside of, like, the given time, right? Outside of the Friday night when somebody says, go pray with a partner, right? Go read the Bible and answer this question together. Like, those are all great things to do, but they're all meant to be practiced for real life. Like, fellowship is not real life, right? It's a part of it, but it's not, like, you can't fit Christianity into that. We have to figure out ways that it's supposed to, you know what I mean? It has to be consistent. It has to, if you really want to experience God, like, if you really want to see Him, if you really want to know what He's like in life, the way that it describes it in the Bible, of, like, this group of people coming together, like, all the time, right? Praying, listening to God together, talking about Him. And I'm not saying you can't do the stuff that you like. Play your video games, right? Like, I always tell, like, parents, you know, let your kids play together. Because eventually, I think play can become pray, right? Like, you know, hang out with, like, that's how, you know, like, my best relationship started, right? Play video games. I like to play video games, right? Just play video games, you know? Like, not a big deal. I mean, my grades suffer, but it's okay. It was worth it. Sorry, I'm parents. Right, like, but play, right, for me, has turned into prayer. So I'm like, do those things, right? Listen to whatever. But I'm just talking about, like if you want to really, like, see God, like, move in the community and, like, see, like, something really awesome happening, like, you have to move from just being friends that talk about God, you know, like, on Fridays and Sundays, to be like Christians, right? Who just happen to meet together, you know what I mean? Like on Fridays, and they're just doing the stuff that they already do. Everything about Friday, everything about Sunday is practice for life. But real life happens, a lot of our real life happens in between. You know, a lot of what you feel like is real is, you know, really Monday through Friday. That's where I'm really dealing with myself. That's where I'm really stressed, you know, like experiencing what like is happening in my life. That's where I'm really like struggling with whatever it is that I'm struggling. All I really want to talk about is how can we level up our relationships from friendships to like spiritual family? It takes some kind of like commitment. It takes like a couple of people saying like, okay, it's cool. We can, it's not awkward, right? It won't be awkward. If any of you ever want to pray, like it won't be awkward. Just say it. You know, one thing we practice in our church in San Diego, I don't know, we call it like we basically say like if anybody, like if you hear something, someone's sharing something or whatever, and you feel like you wanna pray for that, you can like stop anytime and we'll just pray. Right? We just give a certain level of permission. We actually meet less. Like I have a college ministry. And we specifically choose not to meet every week. We meet twice a month. And I say, don't take those days off, right? Like, you know, in between, because you need to hang out. You need to know what it means to hang out with each other and bring God into that. We actually have a practice. We actually only have Sunday service 3 weeks out of the 4 weeks of the month. And on the fourth week of the month, what we tell people is, like, get together with somebody in the church, right? And like have some time with Jesus and each other. Why? Because we think that it's that important to practice like real life with each other, bringing like not where the program does it for you, right? Not where other people set it up for you, not where, you know, like it's just easy. All you have to do is go and just like follow along, or you have to do that yourself. Because that's what Christian life is like. You know, where we are making that initiative, where we are making that happen for ourselves. I'm not saying that you guys should move to that, right? Like, that's just like our conviction as a church. Youth groups should be able to like end for like, you know, a month. And you guys would be like, hey, let's come over to Jonah's house, right? And we'll do it ourselves. I don't know. Or maybe Josie's house, because you're the one in youth group right now. Josie will lead it. What makes it, okay, here's interaction. Why is it weird? Like why is it weird to move a friendship from just like the what you normally talk about? And I'm assuming, so maybe you guys like pray together all the time, and you're like talking about Jesus all the time. Like maybe that's happening. So I'm sorry if I'm assuming. I'm just like maybe basing it out of my own experiences with our like youth and stuff back home, right? But if not, like what makes it weird? Like why is it hard? Someone tell me. Give me an answer. He's resting in the Lord. It's going through. Deal with that. I only know like three people's names, so I'll just like call on those people. Like, what makes it hard to like move a friendship to something more than just at that surface level?
Things take courage to show your vulnerability.
Mm.
It's not that easy.
Yeah. If you might feel like there's a certain vibe to the group, and if you're like, hey guys, let's pray, you're like, eh, right? You just like take it down like five notches in. That's awkward. Yeah. You can get rejected. What else makes it hard?
You're like making yourself vulnerable when you ask for prayer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can be a little difficult.
Yeah.
If you're not super close with them, I guess.
Yeah. How responsible do you feel for each other? As a, let's say, the youth group. Josie.
I would say only for those that I go to school with.
Okay.
Other than that, I can't really feel any responsibility because I don't interact with them much.
Hmm. Okay. There's that, you know, story where, like, Cain kills his brother, right? You gotta ask him, like, hey, Cain, where's your brother? And he's like, am I my brother's keeper? Right? Like, what do I, like, I'm not my brother's. Basically, he's, like, shirking the responsibility. I want to encourage you, like, you might be a little more responsible for each other. Like, if the community, you know, the Bible talks about the church as like a body, right? And it says, like, if one part hurts, like, every part hurts. And if one part rejoices, like, every part rejoices. And to be completely honest, I think a lot of times in church, the experience is like, I hurt, and nobody knows, right? This awesome thing happened to me, and I don't know if anybody else really cares. Right? It's not accurate to the picture that the Bible describes. You know, and those pictures are not just like, it will happen, right? Like, those pictures are things that we're called to, like, become. Like, to get to the level where it's like, oh, I can feel, like, your pain. Like, I can be with you in your sadness. Here are just three things that I think you can do, okay? I don't like to make rules like very like, hey, A, B, and C, like, this is what you do, right? But I'll try and keep things very light. One, hang out with each other more. Okay, like, choose someone to, like, and start easy. Start with somebody you like, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, not buddy, you know, right? Or somebody that you're like, I think you're okay, right? Like, but, like, hang out with each other. Tell your parents, Pastor Clarence, Reverend Dr. Clarence, right, said that we need to hang out more with my friends at church. Right? Just tell them I said so. It might not change their minds, but, you know, you can try. All right? I think you need to spend a lot of time with each other. It's just, community is built off of time. It says it takes somebody about, like, research shows, I think it takes somebody about, like, something like 80 hours of time before they can feel like they're a friend. Like, 80 hours of interaction before someone feels like a friend. And then it probably takes about, like, what is it, like, 200... I think it's like 200 hours, 300 hours with somebody before they can feel like a close friend, right? Like, if you only, like, and that's probably, like, fairly intentional time, not just, like, being in the same space with each other, right? So if you think about that, like, how long it takes to build community, like, intentional community, it takes time. You have to give yourself, like, 40 hours, right? This is why, like, retreats are good, because it's like you get, like, a lot of hours in a short amount of time, right? But you need to have time. So one, spend time with each other. Like, somebody's got to be brave and just change the dynamic of, like, hey, let's talk about stuff. When I was, 17, I had my boys over from our house, and we're sleeping over, and we watched this movie Bad Boys. So Will Smith and Martin Lawrence was like, we watched it 3 times that evening. Our routine is we would watch a movie, I would order like a box of Popeye's chicken, and we would just like eat fried chicken and watch like movies and maybe like play some video games. And so we watched that movie like 3 times in a row because we just thought that like, this one scene was really cool. We were just watching that one scene after a while. And then we're like, it's like 3 a.m. and we're like lying down in our basement, you know, like staring at the ceiling in the darkness, right? And I had been struggling personally with like pornography at the time, right? And that was like something that I like dealt with all throughout, you know, even into college, right? Like, but like when I was young at that age, and we're like lying down, I was like, oh man, I kind of want to talk, I want to ask them, right? Like if this has ever been something that they've like had to deal with, but I'm like a little afraid, right? And so we're like lying down, like nobody can see each other. We're just like all staring at the ground, right? Our heads together. And then finally I was just like, hey, so have you ever, like, you know, and it was like super awkward, right? It was super awkward. Like I'm like trying to fumble these words out, but I was like, I'm struggling with this thing in my life. Like I want somebody to talk to about it. Like, finally got like the words out, right? I don't want to replay the conversation, right? And all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you know, right? Like, yes. I can't like tell you like how much that bonded us in that moment, like being able to share something that like was very, very private that we wouldn't tell anybody about, like with each other for the first time. Like, I was like, okay, we're friends for life now, right? Like, we'd rather die, right? Like, you know, because it just changed the dynamic, right, of the friendship. It made it something a little bit deeper. Not a little bit deeper, a lot of it deeper. It became an area where we could, like, talk to each other and support each other. And all of a sudden, now I'm like, oh, these guys know me at, like, a brand new level. And it takes one person to like do that. It just takes one person to just like open that up. Do it with the safest person. Right? Do it with the person that you think will understand the most, that won't judge you the most, that will accept you the most, that will care for you the most. One of the awesome things about like building this community is that kind of stuff will start happening all the time. Like all the time. You will see people change. You'll see people experience like, I don't know, like the healing of God. But it's gonna take some initiative. I just want to put that out there. So hang out with each other. Like someone's got to push the boundary, like change the dynamic of how you guys like normally hang out. Late nights is a good time to do that because you're all kind of delirious, right? So maybe tonight, like, you know, all cram in somebody's room and just like at 4 a.m. in the morning, like, guys, I need someone pray for me, right? Like, you know, whatever, right? Like, I'm struggling, you know, for somebody to go first, right? Like, you know, designate, like, who's going to bite the bullet, right? Like, just, like, start things going. I'll tell you, it will change things so much. And it will make, here's the caution, though, like, at some point, you just start trauma bonding, right, about like all the bad things that are going on in your life, and that's cool, but like if we want to see God work, like God has to be a part of it, right? So don't just like start opening up about like stuff that's going on in your life, but like learn what it means to bring that to God. So if you share something really painful, something you need help with or whatever, like pray together, right? Ask somebody to pray for you. just do that. Any questions? Any thoughts? Any more tips that I can give? It's 11:23, but I think...
Confidentiality.
Huh?
Confidentiality.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Yeah. You need to kind of have, I won't tell anybody what you tell me. Let me give you, as a mandated reporter, three areas where I think you probably have to break that confidentiality. Okay? If somebody is going to hurt themselves, right? Like, you should share with somebody else. Probably, you know, Shani, Tony, right? Like, youth advisor, pastor. If there is abuse happening, like, you need to share with somebody, okay? You should share with somebody. And, I mean, I think those are like the two big, or if they're going to hurt somebody else. So in those three cases, like, for that person, it's generally better to share. Unfortunately, it really sucks to have to break confidence. Sucks to have to, like, to be in that position, you know, but that's what that person probably needs. And you can tell them, and you can have that, like, you know, hey, this is like where we're at, you know, like I have to let somebody know. But yeah, that's a hard position to be in, but I think it's like a, and you can reconcile through that. You know, like 2 months ago, my wife's uncle, like, started exhibiting like some pretty like serious signs of like depression. He lives up in Orange County, and so he was like starting to call family members, and he was like, hey, you know, like I don't know, like, promise me you'll take care of my daughter, right? Like, promise me you'll take care of my wife, or like be there for them, or like, I've loved you, I care about you, like all that stuff, right? So obviously like tons of red flags were like coming up. And he had been depressed. It was like a lot of like work stress stuff. And not only that, like he had a gun in the home, right? And so, you know, we're like doubly concerned for their safety, like not of just himself, but like the whole family, right? So finally, like one night, you know, I was like talking with my wife, and she said, oh yeah, this is what he said today, you know, because she's talking with her aunt, his wife. And so I was like, oh, we have to go up, right? So we had to go up, and basically we had to force him to go to the hospital, right? We like somehow got him convinced to like put on his clothes, you know, like get out of bed, put on his clothes. We kind of like body blocked him like into a car, right? And his wife was driving, I was in the passenger seat, and he's like getting like hysterical, like about like going to the hospital. He's like, I'm fine, like nothing's wrong, like I'll be okay, you know, I promise, like nothing's, you know. And it does suck to be in that position, right? And I was like basically having to restrain him. And this is my uncle, right? Like this is like you feel very wrong to have to do that, particularly to somebody who's like older. You're supposed to be respectful to them, right? You're supposed to listen to them. We had a, you know, we like basically committed him to the hospital. They did a psych eval. He spent like a week, right, in, you know, in a psychological like treatment center. Got on some like medication, and like he basically had said, like, if he had told his wife previously, like, if you like make me do anything like this against my will, like I will never speak to you again, right? Like, I, you know. And so I was basically like, okay, well, we are never gonna have a good relationship with him again, right? Like, this is killing it, because we have to go in and do this for them. And yeah, I don't know, God's just like really gracious, you know. Like, he went in, he started getting the help, and like we met up for his daughter's birthday, right? And you know, we got rid of the gun, and it's just doing a lot better. The relationship has been repaired, you know. But in that moment, it's like sucks. It's really difficult. And so sometimes you might have to make that call, right, for a friend. You might have to betray trust, you know, for their betterment. I would say do that very sparingly, but in those three cases, if they're going to hurt themselves, they're going to hurt somebody else, right? Or if there's an abuse situation happening, then, you should share. Any other questions? Sorry, that was a little tangent. All right, tonight, I want to see bear it all with each other, guys. I want to see, don't be awake for tomorrow's message, okay? Because you're we're crying and praying together. That's my dream, okay? Let me pray, and then we'll go from here. Heavenly Father, God, I know you call us, and you have something so beautiful for us to experience. In this community of Christ, in this community of following you. Lord, you want us to experience what it means to really be seen and known and loved and cared for, to experience you with one another. God, that's the picture that you describe in your scriptures, Lord. And so I pray, God, that you would open the pathways and the doorways for that to happen here, for the teens, for adults, for just this church in general. That we would be able to reach deeper experiences of vulnerability, deeper experiences of crying out to you, supporting one another. Lord, I pray a lot of our relationships here maybe have zero, you are not really present very much in them. God, I pray that you would come in, that you would just change the dynamic to something even more beautiful and amazing than what we have now. Because you are good and you are building something that is beautiful that you want each one of us to experience. So I pray, Lord, that you would lead us in that way. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.